now. What's going on? I am Jim Rome. It is Friday. Welcome to the program. We just did two interviews in hour number one, so I'm going to open it up to you. Second hour is open phones. Third hour on Friday is always kind of a busy hour. A good busy, but a busy hour. And it's a getaway Friday, so this is the hour to call. 1-800-636-8686. If there's a topic that you want to hit on before I hit the road, do it. Don't wait on me. If you want to talk about something I've already brought up, go ahead and do that too. Use the telephone. It's right in front of you. It's toll free. It's nationwide. It's good in Canada. It is 1-800-636-8686. My thanks to Tom Izzo and Drew Tranquil. Justin Holliday of the Pacers will be joining me at the top of hour number three. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You're probably wondering what I'm going to do for the next 2 weeks or what is going to happen on the show for the next 2 weeks. I have got premium guest hosts, Bill Ryder and Brian Weber. So they will hold this thing down. Do what you do. And by do what you do, you know what I mean. Do things that you know won't be allowed when I'm here, like some of you idiots do. In the meantime, hit me up on social. Call the program. It's a wide open second hour. I gave you my thoughts on Cam Newton. I don't really understand how some of you Patriot fans are not thrilled, hyped. I mean, maybe skeptical. Maybe you've got a question or two about his health. So be it. But to come in here and take shots at this guy because of what he wears, how he celebrates. I mean, this is really not that different than guys you've already had that you loved. So I don't really see you working. I'm not sure where you're coming from with that. Now, there is a tried and true saying, and I will get to your phone calls. Stay there. A tried and true saying in life that all is well, that ends well. And that saying could also be applied to the 8-day saga of smoking Jay Cutler, hunting for the serial killer who was savagely ripping off the heads of his chickens and spraying feathers all over his yard. And I started working this beat over a week ago. And by working that beat, I mean owning the ever-living hell out of that beat. There's no other single media source in this country that was more firmly entrenched than yours truly in the day-to-day war of Cuddy v. the culprit. Cuddy v. the chicken killer. Cuddy v. Cuddy, really. Cuddy v. himself. Because Cuddy was his own worst enemy. All the way up until that final day when he finally fastened a chair to a tree and took matters into his own hands. Truth be told, the end of the saga deserved a much better tribute than what we rolled out with on Wednesday. I'll admit that. Except Wednesday was more about tying a bow on the end of that saga. It wasn't about the retrospective. It wasn't about looking back. It was more about closure. More about putting some punctuation onto the most gripping and entertaining story of 2020. And that's what we did. But I've had a couple of days to think about it. 48 hours have now since passed. So I want you to sit back, turn up the TV and the radio for three golden moments so you can appreciate how epic this entire thing was. Because I will remember the hunt, but will the hunt remember me?
I will remember you.
We've got a chicken serial killer on the loose. We've lost quite a few. Tonight we're going to set up a trail camera, see if it's a coyote, bobcat, raccoon. Could be anything.
That is the content that I'm here for. He said it might be a bobcat, it might be a coyote, but he also did not rule out a possible inside job.
Thumb over there while she looks nice and sweet. Savage with loose morals.
Cuddy apparently had a chicken guy.
A chicken guy, Blake. Dropped me off some more chickens. Big night, huh, ladies?
Back at it this morning to bring everybody back up to speed.
No pictures on the cam, as expected. We're obviously dealing with a pretty intelligent predator.
Enter day two of the manhunt.
Obviously, things have escalated. Backup is me and Mark, my neighbor. We got some night vision goggles from our buddy.
Here is his latest post from this morning.
No culprit last night.
Hopefully I can get a nap in at some point and get ready for tonight because he's out there somewhere.
Would Detective Cuddy and the hunt for the chicken killers jump the weekend? Yes.
We're obviously under attack. Front yard, backyard, daylight, nighttime, morning. We got to stop the bleeding somehow. We're going to go with some live cages tonight. See if we can't trap something. Probably have to go night vision in the front. It's just, we've lost control completely. And somehow we've got to regain it.
So now we're on day four of the manhunt. And Cuddy is getting work so badly.
The culprit's been 3 to 4 steps ahead of me.
He walked around to his front yard and he saw what looked like a pillow factory explosion. Feathers freaking everywhere.
Talked to my buddy Ray at Binks Lodge. He told me peanut butter in the cage works every time. So that's what we're going with. But I also don't know if Ray knows what he's talking about. So I put chicken in there and a marshmallow and tuna.
Here's your problem, Jay. You think you're smarter than Ray at Binks Lodge. Cuddy, you're not. You're not even smarter than whatever is grubbing on your chickens and making you look like a fool. So maybe you listen to Ray at Binks, eh, Cuddy?
About to go downstairs, make a coffee, and then I'm going to climb up in the stand and see what happens. Night vision, whole deal. So not really looking forward to it. Enough's enough. One long night, it's going to be better than fighting this thing for the next three. So once I get up there, we'll see what happens. Stay tuned. This saga, honestly, doesn't want to end.
Chicken heads were ripped off. Bodies were left in the chicken yard. Gruesome stuff. The ladies are now safe and sound. We can all sleep well for a few nights. Let me translate that for you.
We got him.
We got him. Cuddy got him. 8 days later, and apparently the war is over. Smoking Jay Cutler has won, and he is coming home. Man, I gotta tell you, that was more emotional than I thought. That was heavier than I thought. 8 incredible days on that beat. Not only was that story ripe with plot twists and intrigue, but it was almost too perfectly timed to be real. Think about this. I'm now a few hours away from having 384 hours off. A half a day away from 16 days out of the box. So the fact that this thing wrapped up in time for me to bring it to its radio and TV conclusion was a gift. A gift from the content gods. Almost too good to be true. Do you know how pissed I would have been if I left that beat while it was still going on, only to have it wrap up while I was in Northern Scotty? Luckily, that did not happen. Wait, what? Dateline, Nashville, Tennessee. Jay Cutler's nightmare becomes reality. At 12:33 a.m. local time this morning, Cuddy's night vision cameras capture the most crystal clear, most daunting, ominous, and downright terrifying photo I have ever seen. A raccoon in full stride, eyes glowing with blinding revenge, heading straight for the chicken coop. Holy hell. Cuddy, the Hunter, season 2 is already here. Hell yes.
Hell yes.
But wait, I'm in Wisco. Rainy Wisco. For the next 2 weeks. Hell no.
Hell
no.
2 weeks.
Man. Hey, listen, I'm going to deal with my bitter disappointment in just 1 second. But first, the caption from Cuddy. Cuddy writes, quote, "Come on, raccoons. While I respect the family bond and your desire for revenge, this isn't the fight you want. Go pick on the squirrels and the chipmunks in your little forest." End quote. Oh, hell yes. It's freaking go time. Quote, "This isn't a fight you want." Right. It's not a fight they want. It's a fight we all want. Jay Cutler just got down from that tree stand and immediately has to climb right back up because, like he and so many other people have said, raccoons never act alone. And when Dad did not come back with dinner the other night, here comes Mama, or whoever the hell, to settle the score. Maybe his first son. No words on if that raccoon did any damage last night. I'm imagining that Cuddy's pretty sick of updating how many chickens he's lost. And who knows if Blake, the chicken dude, can keep up with the amount of restocking he's had to do in the past 10 days. But man, it is freaking on. Yet again, Cuddy, Hunter Season 2 is here already. I might be in Wisco for the second war, but as long as I don't dunk my blower into Cranberry Lake again, I am about to be glued. So here's to Jay Cutler, sitting under the glowing light of fireworks in the night sky, lighting one marb red off the next, guarding his ladies again. We thought it was over. We thought wrong. And I have never been so happy to be so wrong. Let's get it on. Raccoon Jr. is coming. He's coming for his revenge. He's got a big-ass raccoon chip on his shoulder. He killed my dad. He killed my dad. I got this, Mom. This dude's got his claws all sharp now. He's getting all the other raccoons ready to go to war. Yeah, I'll be tracking this thing. And either I'll find a backup phone or I'll get a waterproof case. I'll be fine. I learned my lesson on Cranberry Lake. 1-800-636-8686. Jamie in Green Bay writes, Jay, it's over when we say it's over. Signed, raccoons. They're mean, man. They are really mean. All right, let's get to the phones. Go to a former Smack-Off champ. We go to HB Silk. I hope it's Silk. You never know with Silk, right? It's either Silk, or fake Silk. And yeah, I already know the fake Silk's better than the real Silk. Let's go to Huntington Beach. What's up, brah?
Ladies and gentlemen, the official, unofficial mayor of Huntington Beach.
Thanks, Jen Silk. Good morning, clones. I've got a few important announcements to make today, and I'll let you get back to the Getaway Friday show. Due to recent events and because of the actions of a few people who participate on this show, I've had to take unilateral action. I want all of you listening to my voice to write this number down. It's 1-800-636-BRA. That's 1-800-636-2724. This is the new Jim Rome Show clone violations line, brah. Citizens and patriots can use this number to report the actions of clones that are detrimental to the show and place all of us in jeopardy. Now, you're probably wondering what would be a reportable offense, and I'm going to give you some examples. If you see an oiled-up clone in a Speedo doing a photo shoot with his, quote, wingman, you call the number. If you see a clone delivering sonnets to a fast food worker, you call and you give a full report. If a clone posts a video of himself crying on Twitter, you make us aware. If you happen to live in Las Vegas, you witness a clone buying golf shoes with lifts in them, file a report. Or if a clone periscopes 10 times per hour, often during the broadcast of the show, you let us know. And if you stumble upon a clone sleeping in a car with a cardboard stand-up of another man, you make the call. And if you find yourself in some godforsaken backwoods hellhole and you stumble upon a large group of clones playing golf without masks, getting hammered, and spreading COVIDs, do your civic duty and report them. And with that, let me address another pressing issue in the jungle, brah. That's the group of kooks known as the JTP. There is not a bigger group of miscreants, trolls, brain deads than these kooks. Allegedly, we have Homie and Noops to thank for this abomination, but I can't confirm that. I did do a bit of research on the Twitter bios of these kooks. Check out some of the ways these idiots describe themselves. These are what they actually put in their own bios. Number one, ATV enthusiast. Number two, action figure collector. Number three, jungle poker champ. Four, wingman for hire. Quote, I bring nothing to the table. My tweets are quantity over quality. That's one of my favorites. And probably the most damning, Mariners season ticket holder. These are the same kooks that regularly get their account suspended after a month and come back with some new pseudonym for themselves. Sarah T. and Kook and NoCal have been suspended more times than Josh Gordon. Most of these kooks have more aliases than Clinton Portis. I'm not even going to address the amount of burner accounts and silk bra tribute accounts. Those ones I actually like. So listen, if you witness any of these JTP clowns misbehaving online, you call the hotline. And clones, in closing, I'd just like to remind you that reporting kooks may make you feel uncomfortable, but it's time to be okay with being uncomfortable. Now, I'd like to invite all of you to get on at Silk Bra on Twitter, where I'll be hosting a town hall meeting to discuss the beach closings here in HB and enforcement of the 4th of July guidelines. Thank you and good morning.
Good job, Mr. Mayor. I wanted to hear if he was going to play any of his mayoral music on the way out. Good job, Mr. Mayor.
Good job.
Good effort, Mr. Mayor. It's time to get comfortable being uncomfortable and narc out your fellow clones. You got that, kooks, on the JTP? I'll wait on your reaction. 1-800-636-8686.
Kook.
It's already starting. Haunted 00 Horse tweets. Jim, I just called the Silk Bra Narc line, and all I heard was a commercial to buy more wine from his wife. It's a freaking commercial. That guy had already gotten that tweet out before the call was even over. Who else? Find me on Twitter, at Jim Rohn. Nice job, Silk. Have a great 4th. Happy 4th, Mr. Mayor. Use the telephone number. I'd love to hear from you. Jaime, you really need to put Bra out of his misery. I'm embarrassed for him. He's worse than Matt. Stephen S.A., no, he's not. I don't mean anything by that, Matt. You're still my guy, Matt. You know that. Hey, Matt, you know that because I put your phone call up almost every single time. No, Silk's fine, man. He's good. He got racked. Why would I put him out of his misery?
Rack him.
Rack him. It is a getaway day. Once again, I'm not looking to put that in your face. Maybe a little. No, I'm not. I'm just saying, get in here now. I always like those kind of milestone points, right? Where you know I'm gone for 2 weeks, so we just need to touch base. Just get in here. Tell me what's on your mind. 2020 has been a wacky, challenging year without question. And we're at the halfway point. It's got to get better. It can't get worse, I don't think, I hope. And it's got to get better. The mayor of Huntington Beach just called.
Bruh.
Certainly you can put aside whatever it is you're not doing to make a good phone call yourself. Justin Holliday is a shooting guard for the Pacers. He joins me at the top of the hour. Still ahead, in terms of the return of the NBA... Have you seen that picture of Zion? Man, he looks amazing. Also, if you're looking for a certain sign or an indicator that we might be on the verge of a return to normalcy, I have it. Not complete normalcy, because I hate to say it, normalcy is the new normal. What we have right now is normalcy. But there is something that gives me hope, and it relates to baseball. That's coming up too. Stay tuned. Phone call is still ahead. Alvy's Week That Was is next hour. And I've got thoughts on a podcast episode that I did with Andre Iguodala that I want to get to you as well. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Jim Rohn Show.
I'm going to incorporate Old Man Ritt into a take soon. And not in the way where I just kind of invoke his name, but he's a part of the bit. He's a part of the production value. And remember the last time we included production value, it included Ritt playing horse by himself and talking junk about how fat he thinks Paul Pierce is. So the bar is high. The bar is high. When I mention Ritt being involved and there being Ritt production value... The bar is high. So I want you to keep that in mind.
Finally.
Finally. A second bit with Ritt. Finally.
Finally.
Hey, man, have you gotten Jay Cutler yet? Finally. No, finally. You haven't, have you? Don't rest on your laurels, old man. Now, listen, you're not young and you're not healthy, so I don't want you to put any more pressure on yourself. But I need you to get Cutler, Mr. President.
It's lit!
It's red! Be quiet, Rit. I only want to see results. I don't want to hear an explanation. Adam Hawk, talk to me real quick, Adam. You look like you're otherwise busy with something else. Those are headphones. Yeah, that's it. Put them over your ears. Listen to what comes through them. What's going on, man? You seem really distracted and bothered. How you doing? How you living?
Spinning a lot of plates, if you will.
I won't. So how you doing? How you feeling? Everything good?
Yeah, everything's great. We are, you know, on the back end of a Getaway Friday, so just trying to make sure that this show sounds as good right now as it always does, and there's no mailing it in on this side of the glass, so we're just focused and doing a lot of things.
My man, you have absolutely mastered the art of bullcrap. How does that stuff even come out? Every time I go to you, you just say stuff like that. That you're talking, your lips are moving, and you're saying nothing at all legitimate. You have mastered the absolute art of bullcrap. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You should hang a diploma of bullcrap on your wall.
I need a diploma, so I will.
All right, good. Thanks for nothing. Just checking in, seeing how you're doing. Nothing's changed. All right, there was something that went down earlier this week. There was an article in The Athletic about 690 AM. 690 AM was a radio station where I got my first big break, and it was a classic, classic sports talk radio station. In fact, I'm going to say it was the second sports talk radio station in America. WFAN in New York was the first, the one and the only, and then 690 AM in San Diego, a 50,000-watt blowtorch, then came on the scene. And that's where I got my big break, and there were a number of other really big-time shows on that station. So we've had kind of a retrospective. There's been some nostalgia. Maybe you read that article. And with that in mind, I want to go back to where it all started, because it did not start in San Diego. It actually started in Santa Barbara. And if you read that piece in The Athletic, obviously you can tell I've got amazing pride and amazing memories about my time at 690, but don't sleep on Santa Barbara now. Santa Barbara was where I first got on the radio. Santa Barbara was where I spent my first few years, you know, grinding and dreaming and working and hoping that I could bust out to get to San Diego. So it really started in Santa Barbara. I've got amazing memories of my time in Santa Barbara. So whenever I see somebody on the screen, now remember, I went to college in Santa Barbara and I worked in that community for nearly 4 years. I spent 7 years of my life in Santa Barbara. That town is really important to me. And I get back when I can. So with that in mind, I'm going to go to Santa Barbara right now. Moro in Santa Barbara. Moro, it's nice to have you on. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing really good, Jim. It's been years since I talked to you. Yeah, I was one of your original callers on KTMS way back when. And what a difference then and now. Congratulations, first of all. What an accomplishment. I remember I used to call you quite a bit, and there was another guy who used to call you a lot. His name was Charles, and I actually met you at your going-away party at the Hola Amigos restaurant.
Wow.
I had to run in and run out. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I do, Moro. Absolutely, I do. I'll never forget that going-away party. That was awesome. I'm so glad you were there.
Are you there?
Yeah, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
I do remember that party. I will never forget that party. That was an amazing thing. I'm so glad you made it to that party.
Yeah, it was a blast. And it was a bummer to see you go, but then I kept following you on 690, and I remember the battles you were having with Lee Hacksaw Hamilton. I used to laugh. It was so funny the way he would try to get at you, and you'd come back going like, hey, what's going on here? It's not a big deal, you know, but it was really cool. That station was great, by the way. And they also had Chet and Steve, I believe. Is that correct?
Sure, that is. That was the station.
Yeah. But I do miss the old days, like when you talk about mattresses and the roofs of IV and stuff like that.
Good times, man. Santa Barbara was such an amazing town. Like, Moro, you remember, for those, I mean, only you would know, and maybe a few other people, but when I started that talk show that you used to call, that talk show was 1 hour a night. There were two phone lines coming in, and as you remember, like, prior to that, there was a lot of local talk, but I got in there, and I thought, I'm just going to try and do it a different way and try and get some big-time national guests, and man, we had a lot of fun with that show.
Yeah, I remember your first guest, one person called in, and he asked you point blank, is that interview live? And you said, you hesitated and you said, no, it's taped. And thank you for asking that, by the way. I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, right. Right. I'm like, great. Yeah, thanks for making me answer the question honestly. But unlike some other people I've worked with over the years, I answered it honestly. Because the fact of the matter is, when I was in Santa Barbara, Market 174, if I was going to get a major national figure on the show, and I was on the air from 6 to 7, it might not have fit their schedule. So yes, I did tape an interview. And unlike some other idiots and liars in the business, if it's taped, I'll tell you it's taped.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you mentioned normalcy. Real quick, I don't know if you know, but we have a semi-baseball team here called the Foresters.
Yep.
They started playing baseball games here now, so we are getting back to normalcy here in Santa Barbara.
That's good. And also, Mauro, I don't know if you know this, but you've got a killer baseball program at UC Santa Barbara known as the Gaucho
yep.
Baseball Program, so you make sure you support them too.
I do. I umpire fast-pitch softball here in town. You may remember Steve Gritz.
I don't know if you knew. I do not think that I remember him. Jog my memory real quick.
Oh, no, he is just a really cool guy. He worked in the radio industry, too. He would go to the live booths at football games, give the
announcers notes. I got you. All right. My man, Mauro, throwing it way back. Mauro, rack Mauro. Mauro, take care. Stay safe. Thanks for taking me down memory lane. Hey, clones, don't act like I couldn't do that for another hour. So understand, my man was calling me on the radio before I got to 690. What that means is he was calling my radio program probably in 1989. 89. So look at me. Look at me on CBS Sports Network. I still look pretty damn good, right?
89.
I still sound pretty damn good, right? I'm holding up. 89. Because I care, man. Tom Izzo, why do you think I talk to guys like Tom Izzo and say, hey, Tom, let me ask you something. I read your resume. You've done this thing a long, long time. Now, why are you going so hard? Why do you care so much? Why do you work so hard now? Because I'm kind of curious about that. Those are the things that I think about. But that's kind of a blast. Mauro talked about the going away party. Amazingly enough, they did. They threw me. Because if you read the 690 piece, it kind of comes up in part. But when I was in Santa Barbara, I literally, and some of you say, hey, Rome, why don't you tell us some more anecdotes. Tell us some more stories. Like, what was going on? What were you thinking? What were you doing? Let us in. Okay, I'll tell you exactly what I was thinking and what I was doing when I was in Santa Barbara. And there were two sports talk stations in all of America, one in New York and one in San Diego. What I was thinking and what I was doing 24/7 was trying to figure out how the hell to get to San Diego. I don't want to say it's all I cared about, but it's far and away the most important thing in my life and in my mind. I was obsessed. And I kind of put that thing like, if I put it out in the universe, that might help me. And if the mind could conceive it, it could achieve it. So when I finally left, you know, in a small town like that, if you're a knucklehead and you're neurotic and you work 100 hours a week and you get an ulcer by the time you're 25, they kind of know who you are because it's a small town. And if you triple shift the way they used to triple shift me on that radio station, I did. I worked mornings, middays, and afternoon drive and early evenings. Why not, man? If you can get a guy to work 14 hours a day for $1,000 a month, wouldn't you hire him? By the time I left, I had kind of a name in that town. So they threw me a great going away party at that restaurant he mentioned, Hola Amigos. And he said he was there. He was in and out. And I haven't thought about that night very often, but I'm glad you brought that up. That brings back amazing memories. Probably a few people were there like, good, man. The hell out of town, Rome. You're on the air like 14 hours a day. Get out of here. All right. So I've had a pretty good run back thinking about Santa Barbara. I had Jimmy Connors and his son Brett on the podcast a couple weeks back. We talked about my time and how I met him in Santa Barbara. Mauro, my man Mauro in Santa Barbara coming through. And there's something at home. I have not yet translated this or transcribed it, I mean. There's a guy in Santa Barbara that had tapes of the show. I've got cassettes of some of the original shows, but I haven't moved it over to something I could play here, and I haven't listened to it. We got to work that out. Can you imagine what that would sound like? Like when you hear some of the early sound bites from the jungle back in the day, how funny they sound. You should have heard me back in the 80s in Santa Barbara. I've got tape. So remind me, y'all, when we come back, whatever you want to hit on. If you're in Santa Barbara, I'll take that. Man, I also remember there was a big sponsor in Santa Barbara. who threw more money at that radio station. He mentioned it, KTMS. And there was a key sponsor who sponsored all the sports. And the guy who made the decision, it was a carrier, a cell carrier company, GTE MobileNet. They're like, yeah, I don't know about that guy. Yeah, you don't know about that guy. You don't know about the guy who's been working 14 hours a day for $5 an hour for 3 years. You think who's been waiting for his opportunity? You don't know if you're going to let that guy? Dang. Tough world, man. The sponsor, because the sponsor made the decision. Got me flashing back, Moro. Also to the radio mall. They had me pimping goods. I did the Home Shopping Network on radio before there was Home Shopping Network on TV. They made me do it. I was pissed. Pissed. Until I got my first commission check. And I'm like, why don't we make this show 2 hours? In fact, I don't need to do sports anymore, man. I'll just sell your bullcrap chimney sweep certificates. Santa Barbara, yo. Got to get your start somewhere. No, I'm done. Time for a sports update. No. Here it is. Marco Belletti, what's going on?
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, take a look back on football history, relive the epic moments as the Colts try to stop the Tom Brady-led Patriots in the 2014 AFC title game. Don't miss NFL Rewind, Alvin, on CBS Sports Network. I'd ask, why are you cracking on my guy Moro, but I already know. Because he's next in line. That's just how it is. You could tell I was into that. Why would I not be into talking to somebody that used to call my show? I mean, do I not respect you callers? So imagine how much respect I might have for somebody who used to call my show when I first got on the radio in 1988 or 89. You think I might be interested in getting caught up with somebody like that? So why are you cracking on this guy? I know, because he's next in line. And the next person to come on is going to get cracked on. It's like, hey, Rome, great anecdotes from Moro. I wish he were less-o. Well, that's funny. That's good. That's strong. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. I wish he was less-o. Hey, Rome. Great stuff. Great stuff with Moro. More of you and less of him. Equally amusing. Moro, brother, I got you.
Brother.
I got your back, Moro. We're good. You're good. Yeah, like this guy. Hey, Rome, that was a cool chat with Moro. Have a great vacation. How hard was that? Thanks, Chad and Humboldt. Hey, Rome, more of you and less of him. Sonny in Toronto tweets because he knows he can't call. Unlike some liars in the business, if it's taped, I'll tell you it's taped. Signed, Jim Rome. Love it. Yellow Robot tweets, the Mighty 690 show was awesome, especially when driving through Arvin on my way back to SLO in the middle of the night. Good times. You got it, bro. Those were good times. Those were amazing times. Me and the crew, that was before the XR4TI was a thing. That was me and my man Joe Titino. Joey T. Joey T was obsessed also. My man. I've never seen anybody go after anything like Joe Titino did an interview with Ted Williams. Told you that story before. So my dad had leukemia, and it went into his brain. I'm not trying to be morbid, but just being real. My dad, Jay, had leukemia. It got into his brain. He had brain surgery. He was sick, but was just like a warrior. Like, great attitude. Just kept battling. My dad grew up in Boston, was an enormous Red Sox fan. And Ted Williams was his guy. And I was telling the Bulldog, Joe Titino, that one day. And Joe is San Diego through and through. Joe's like, you know, Teddy ballgame, San Diego roots. I'll get that interview. You can imagine Ted Williams was not much on doing radio interviews. And Joe Titino got it in his head. No, I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him for your old man. I'm going to get him for you. And I'm going to get him for our show. And Joey T was obsessed. obsessed. And he tracked down Ted Williams and talked him into it. And I did a conversation with Ted Williams for 690 AM. And I want to say the running length of that interview was probably 18 minutes. I mean, it was a long interview. And my father was pretty ill at the time and not right of mind because he had his skull cracked open. He had brain surgery. But he heard it. And he knew. And he understood. So if you're going to talk about the great 690 show back in the day, and if you would listen at night, I want to make sure that I salute my then producer, Joe Titino. The story about Joey T was they just put us together. We didn't know each other. I got a job there as an update guy and a weekend host, and they said to me, that guy there, he's your producer. And he didn't know me, and I didn't know him. But luckily, he found two extremely motivated guys who both were really hungry, who had chips on their shoulder. Joe would do things like that. That's how he got the nickname Bulldog. He would just go after stuff. I almost let out a four-letter bomb right there. He would just go after bleep.
Thanks, Joe.
So I want to make sure I mention that. And I had some amazing board ops. My guy Tom Perry was the board op. And even it's incredible. Like I've mentioned this, but the songs you hear, the Boomtown Rats, that was Tom Perry. The Jungle and Axel, that was Tom Perry. Most incredibly, Tom Perry was the one that dropped Iggy Pop in. Tom Perry picked all of those songs. He was a disc jockey for 91X. And he was another one of those guys who's like, hey, you over there, you're going to engineer that sports talk show. And he did that at night. So shout out to him. And the Panda. The Panda was a board op back in the day. And by the way, Panda, much love. Panda was one of those guys like, Panda was a super sweet guy. But moody, man. Panda, you know you were, bro. And he wouldn't take any bleep. He also engineered the old man Butterknife and me. So this guy had seen it all. And if I'm forgetting anybody, my apologies. Those were great times. 690. 1-800-636. I'm just riffing, man. Damn, Rome, are you on vacation? Not yet, I'm not. But I will be. It's okay. You got to look back sometimes. I'm always looking forward, but when you have the history and the journey that I've been on, you got to look back and you got to appreciate that. And you got to thank the people who helped put you where you are, which is what I am doing. Looking ahead to next hour, I've got Justin Holliday coming up. I've got Alvy's week that was, which I know is going to be great. I've got a take on Major League Baseball, which includes production from Ritt. Ritt is involved in the production. There's sound of Ritt. We've seen video of Ritt that he has posted himself. Ritt went into the studio and he tracked something. This is like too good to be true.
Game on.
Game on. And when I said, hey, Ritt, I got an idea for something. Can you get in the studio, put on the cans, and track something for me? His response was, and I quote, finally. And I said, is that all you have to say for yourself? And his response was, and I quote, no, game on. Finally. And the other thing he said was, let me finish this Rice Krispie brick and then I'll do for you, boss. Finally. You trying to signal me, Hawk? Let's go to the phones. Here's the guy responsible for dropping the name Flight Deck on James Kelly. And by the way, the Flight Deck, he's come in to spell Alvy a couple of times, but he does not come around on Fridays anymore. Has not since the pandemic struck. Eric in Orlando. I've got a feeling this might have something to do with me going to a region of the country where there's a hell of a lot of fishing. Eric, what's going on?
Romy, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Eric. How about you?
Good, man. Good. Hey, listen, I want to wish you a happy vacation. I want to turn you on to a little spot and in Wisconsin. The ex-wife and I had a bunch of wonderful trips in Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin. And there's a little lake called Marissa's Lake, and it feeds into the Mississippi River. And every time we've gone there, we have crushed the rainbows, 14 inches plus. And what you want to use is a parachute Adams fly. And the strike and the fight is just incredible. And I'll tell you, the first time I went there, real quick, it was I didn't have my own gear. I had my ex-wife's brother's kid's little Zebco and and we're in 20-degree weather, and we're fishing, and I hooked onto this rainbow, and this little Zebco got all stuck, and the rod exploded, and I ended up letting the drag out and just threw the rod aside, and I took the fishing line by my hand and just kind of let my hands be the drag so I wouldn't break the line, and the rainbow was just incredible. The rainbow fishing there, I wish you good luck, and have a good vacation.
Dude, that story was amazing. Rackham, Eric, that's your best call since you dropped flight deck on James Kelly. My man's talking a different language. That was awesome. Man, I can't wait to get into that strike and that fight. And the rainbow, dude. I don't know if I can pull rainbow out of cranberry and catfish. I'll find out. I plan on finding out. I plan on finding out, Eric, and I'll let you know. Rackham. Next up. Justin Holiday of the Pacers. And the rest of hour number three, do not go anywhere. I am Jim Rome. You're in the jungle. Happy 4th. Nice to be with you. Stay tuned.